There's another way. Maybe I should do it, Mitchell told the intermediary. I don't know. Can you give me some more information on Comcast? Then, in another conversation, he said, Well, why doesn't Comcast just write a letter to me and the board? We can take it from there. At this juncture, Mitchell reported the contact to Eisner, who wrote an email to Disney board members. I want you to be aware of Comcast chatter, he said. On January 15th, George Mitchell reported that a friend came to him and asked as a favor if they could have dinner with George and me. Last week, the friend came back asking for lunch just with George. He responded in accordance with guidelines for directors. The guidelines are, call Michael if you want to discuss this issue, but Disney is very comfortable with its current strategy. There was concern at Comcast that Mitchell, however skilled a politician and diplomat, was out of his depth in the rarefied world of mergers and acquisitions. They were also in the highly unusual position of negotiating through not one, but two intermediaries, the identity of one of whom they didn't even know. Does Mitchell understand this? Burke asked, somewhat skeptical. He's not an investment banker. A letter from us will have to become public. In effect, it's a bid. Yes, Hirsch insisted. He's got a lawyer advising him. Indeed, Mitchell had said, Let me assure you that such a letter would be welcomed by the Disney board. Academy Award nominations were announced on January 27th, and Disney Pixar's Finding Nemo received 4. Best Animated Feature, Best Original Screenplay, Best Original Score, and Best Sound Editing. Roy Disney was also nominated for Best Animated Short Subject for Destino. Nemo's worldwide box office was approaching $1 billion, eclipsing Disney's Lion King as the highest-grossing animated film ever. For Disney, however, the ongoing runaway success of Nemo was double-edged. While it was boosting the Disney Studios' revenues to a record $3 billion, it had also, as Eisner had feared, emboldened Pixar and its mercurial chairman, Steve Jobs, to demand more from Disney in the already contentious negotiations to extend their agreement. Just 2 weeks before, Disney had rejected the latest proposal, in which Pixar wanted exclusive rights to sequels, in addition to earlier demands for a far greater share of the profits, and to include the films The Incredibles and Cars in the New Deal. But Eisner and Dick Cook expected Pixar to come back with a revised proposal. Instead, 2 days after the Academy Award nominations, Jobs called Cook and told him he was terminating discussions. He issued a statement to the press. After 10 months of trying to strike a deal with Disney, we're moving on. We've had a great run together, one of the most successful in Hollywood history, and it's a shame that Disney won't be participating in Pixar's future successes. Eisner, in turn, issued a conciliatory response. We have had a fantastic partnership with Pixar, and wish Steve Jobs and the wonderfully creative team there, led by John Lasseter, much success in the future. Although we would have enjoyed continuing our successful collaboration under mutually acceptable terms, Pixar understandably has chosen to go its own way to grow as an independent company. After calling Cook, Jobs called Roy